Okay, good morning, everyone. It's Parshas Vayakhel, this Shabbos, which is a rerun, so to speak, a repetition of the building of the Mishkan, because the last few weeks is Truma, Tetzaveh, and part of Kisisa, is when Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu to build a Mishkan. And then Vayakhel and Pekudeh is when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain and he actually instructs Bnei Yisrael to build a Mishkan, and they donate the various materials and they do everything they need to do, and the Mishkan eventually gets built in next week's Parsha. This year, interesting, very often Vayakhel and Pekudeh, which is next week, are together. It's a double Parsha. But this year being a leap year, a lot of these double Parshiot are separate because we have extra weeks. And therefore, it's a separate, so Vayakhel is separate to Pekudeh. But this week also is a special Shabbos. It's the beginning of the four special Shabbatot. In other words, we have at this time of the year, two before Purim, two after Purim, where we add to the laning, we add to the Torah reading. And instead of the Maftir, we take out a second Torah and we read a special portion. Those special parashiyot are known as shkalim, which is the mitzvah of half a shekel. Then we take a break. Then the Shabbat before Purim, we read Zachor, which is remembering Amalek. After Purim, we have two special ones where we read about the para aduma, the red heifer, which was a purity for those that come into contact with a dead body and so on, and couldn't go to the temple. And then finally, we read Parashat HaChodesh, which is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and also the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach and the Exodus from Egypt. And it leads us up to the beginning of the month of Nisan, which of course is the month of Pesach. Now, I'm just going to share a screen here. Give me 1 second. There we are. Okay, so just give me 1 second. Okay. So as number one in the handout there is the four parashiyot. As you have them, Shkalim, Zachor, Paran, Chodesh. Now what's interesting is that last week, I'm going to actually focus a bit on Shkalim, even though it's interesting because last week we did a little bit, because last week's parsha was Kisisa, the beginning of which is the mitzvah of the half a shekel. So that was read last week, but we're going to repeat that, not as the parsha of the week, but we're going to repeat it after the parsha of the week, because it's a special Shabbos of Shkalim. So it just happens to work out that way. We're reading that same paragraph twice. But what I want to share with you today is a whole process of ideas that I've developed coming based on the, based primarily on the Shvilei Pinchas, and also a talk that the Rebbe gave, the beautiful lesson, which I'm going to connect the two things. And we're going to focus on the mitzvah of the half a shekel, differently than we did last week, but also then we're going to have a different idea altogether and link it to the parsha. So that's what we're going to try and accomplish today. So let's just read through this again. So this is number two. So the pasuk says, Kisisa es roish b'nei Yisrael. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you count, the exact wording over here is Kisisa, when you lift up the heads of the Jewish people, meaning actually when you count them, basically. Each person should give the atonement for their soul, Hashem, to God when you count them. And there'll be no play. I guess what I explained last week, this is the mitzvah not to count people, and if you do count people, you have to count something that they're giving. In that case, it was the census being taken, and each one had to give a half a shekel in order to be counted. Okay. Then it says, Ze yutnu. This is what they should give. Now, who had to give this? Who was part of the census? Kol ha'over al ha'pkudim, all those that are military age, machatzis ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh, had to give the special holy shekel. Esrim geira ha'shekel, a shekel is made out of 20 geira, it's a kind of currency. They need to give a machatzis ha'shekel, truma l'Hashem. And then the pasuk says again, kol ha'over al ha'pkudim, all those that are of military age should give ben Esrim Shana v'mala, from 20 years and onwards, Yitein Trumas Hashem, should give the Truma of Hashem. Okay, so that's the mitzvah of Machzor Hashem. Now, why do we read it around this time of the year? So let me just explain first what the Machzor Hashem was. I'm not sure if I explained this properly. So there were actually different types of Machzor Hashem. There was the Machzor Hashem, the half a shekel that was given in the desert, which was a one-time donation, which they gave towards the Mishkan, and after that they took all the half shekels and they melted them down, and they made the sockets that actually hold the beams of the Mishkan. But then there was an ongoing mitzvah, a mitzvah that happened every year when there was a base, when there was a temple, that before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before the first of Nisan, the Jews would give a half a shekel. Each person from 20 years and onwards would give a half a shekel. That money would then go towards purchasing the animals for the sacrifices that were used daily in the temple, daily in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Korban Tomei, the daily offering in the morning and the evening, was bought from the money that came in from a half a shekel. What's interesting is that every year, the Torah, we learn from the Psukim, the verses of the Torah, that those animals bought from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, from the first day of Nisan, had to be bought from new funds. So you couldn't use last year's half a shekel, even if there was a surplus. Now, the Mishnah discusses what you, the Gemara discusses what you do with the surplus, but when Rosh Chodesh Nisan would come, they would start to purchase animals from the new donations, the one that were given in honor of this year. In other words, it was very specific focus that had to be given for this year, and that's the money that was used to buy new karbanos. In order to facilitate that, a month before, they would start reminding people that it's time to give the half a shekel. The month of Adar would be the month that they would donate the half a shekel. And that would then be enough time for all to get to the temple and to be able to be used from the beginning of Nisan onwards. There's also a very interesting connection to Adar, not just because it's a month before Nisan, but actually there's a connection because there's a connection to the story of Purim. And for this we have to have a look at a piece of the Gemara in the Masechet of Megillah. So the Gemara quotes, so this is number three. The Gemara quotes, Im ala melech toiv, Haman said to Achashverosh, if it's good for the king, yikosev le'abnom, let it be written, let it be inscribed to destroy this nation, referring to the Jewish people. And says Haman, I will offer the king, he offered Achashverosh a huge sum of money, aseres alofim kikar kesef, 10,000 silver kikar, which was a huge amount of money, a huge amount of silver. Okay. A kikar is a certain amount of shkolim and so on. Says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Golui ve'yodua lifnei misha Amar ve'hoya ha'olam. It was well known to the Creator, to Hashem, to the one that said and the world came to be. It was well known to him when he gave the Torah, Sha'asid Haman, that in the future sometime Haman will, there'll be a threat and Haman will pay. Lishkal shkolim al Yisrael, he will be ready to pay an exorbitant amount of shkolim for the price for the Jewish people to do what he wants with the Jewish nation. What did Hashem do? Lefikach hikdim shiklehem lishkolov. Hashem prefaced, Hashem preceded the mitzvah of shkolim, the mitzvah of half a shekel, before Haman's shkolim came along. In other words, the merit for overcoming Haman's decree. The way the Jews were able to overcome the Haman's decree was partially or completely in the schus, in the merit of the mitzvah of half a shekel, which preceded Haman's shekels, and therefore that was the antidote to Haman's shekels, and the decree ultimately was annulled. Then the Gemara links this to what the Mishnah says. And this is what we learned in the Mishnah. The Echad be'Adar, the first day of Adar, every year on Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmi'im, they would announce, they would send out messages, al hashkalim ve'al hakilayim, for people to give half a shekel. They would remind everyone to do the mitzvah of half a shekel, and it was also the time of year, which we're not going to go into now, that would send reminders about kilayim, about plants and produce that had started to grow together, which is a prohibition in the Torah, and therefore Hashem wanted that to, Hashem told them we didn't allow to do that, so people needed to undo that, or cut them, or harvest them, whatever the case they had to do, and they were reminded during this time of Adar. But we're not going to go into the Kilayim part now, we're going to focus only on the Shkolim. Okay. Now, because of that, Because of that, we, around Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read this specially, we designate a Shabbos, like we do this coming Shabbos, and the Maftir, meaning the last, when I say Maftir, I'm normally in Shul on Shabbos, when we read the Parsha, we call up seven people to the Torah, and then we call up an eighth person, that's the person that does Maftir and Haftarah. Normally what happens is, the Maftir just repeats the last few verses of the Parsha, which we already read, and then he does the Haftarah. But when it comes to the special Shabbos, we don't do that. With special Shabbos, instead of repeating the last few verses, what we do is we actually have a special reading. So that's this week, the Parsha of Shkalim. So why do we read it this week? Because this week is the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. If, by the way, Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on a Shabbos, then we do it on the Shabbos. But otherwise, we do it the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, because on Rosh Chodesh Adar was the time they always used to announce about the Shkalim, so to remember that. But as the Mishnah Brura and others bring down, it's not just to remember, it's actually to relive, to re-experience. And here's an interesting point, actually, just a side point. We know there's a concept called Uneshalma Parim Sfateinu, that our lips pay for the cows. What does that mean? It's a pasuk which teaches us that when we do not have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, like for example, we do not have an opportunity to bring sacrifices today in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what we do is we speak about it, we learn about it, and we pray about it, as we do every day, we do Musaf and Shabbos and so on, because our lips, when we learn about it and we discuss it, it becomes the substitute as if we have done the actual mitzvah. So when it's not just about reading it the Shabbos, so we remember in olden times how the mitzvah was performed, what actually happens is when we read it the Shabbos, it's like we are again fulfilling the mitzvah. We're re-experiencing the mitzvah. How do we know this is true, especially around the half a shekel? So the B'nai Yisoschar points out a very beautiful thing. He says like this, we just learned in the Gemara that Hashem gave the mitzvah of half a shekel before Haman came along and offered so many shekels to Ahasuerush to kill the Jewish people. So the shekel that we gave overrode, so to speak, and cancelled the decree of Haman. Says the B'nai Yisoschar, when the story of Haman happened, there was no shekel. It was between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no mitzvah of half a shekel. So what do you mean that they had the mitzvah of half a shekel which overrode and cancelled the decree of Haman? There was no half a shekel during the time of the story of Purim. So one obvious answer would be that it was in the merit of all the half shekels that were given during the second temple, during the first temple. Even though currently there was no half a shekel, but the mitzvah of half a shekel was enough to override the decree of Haman. But he says something different. He says no. Because there's always a mitzvah of half a shekel, just like there's always a mitzvah of karbanis, of sacrifices. It's just how it's done. When there's a temple, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah tells you how to do it, you have to actually give the half a shekel. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, you have to learn about the half a shekel. So that's what they did. They had what we do the Shabbos. During the time of Purim story, they fulfilled the mitzvah of half a shekel, as we do now. We don't do it with a shekel, we do it by reading the parsha. We read Kisisa, we read this parsha, right? And we read this parsha, that's the mitzvah of half a shekel, and therefore it's as if we are actually fulfilling the mitzvah of a half a shekel. Because Uneshalma Parim Svaseinu, it's like we are fulfilling it through our lips. So therefore, this Shabbos is an amazing thing. When we do this, it's not just about remembering a mitzvah of old, but it's actually fulfilling the mitzvah, albeit in a different way, but it's re-experiencing the mitzvah, and therefore the lessons we learn from the mitzvah and all the things we're going to discuss are extremely relevant, and relevant today as it was always. Okay. So, just to point out, as I said before, why do we read this particular portion, even though actually this particular portion is actually not about the yearly half a shekel, it's about the one-time half a shekel that was given in the desert. So the rabbis point out that in this parsha which we read this week, it mentions the truma three times, and there were different type of trumas, and therefore one of them was alluding to the machzor shekel. So this is the portion you read to give the half a shekel. Okay. Now, we know, we need to understand a number of things. First of all, we need to understand why specifically a half a shekel. What's the idea of a half a shekel? The other thing, I'm going to share with you a bunch of questions that are asked by the Shvili Pinchas. He says, why specifically half a shekel? Secondly, he has a very interesting question which I never thought about. I think the sort of the answer is fairly, on a simple level, is obvious, but nevertheless, he asked the question to be able to give a deeper explanation. If we need to relive the mitzvah, then why do we read it on the Shabbos before the beginning of Adar? Meaning, we know that they announced this announcement, people started to perform the mitzvah during Beis HaMikdash times from the first of Adar. First of Adar is 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We know that 30 days generally is the time of preparation, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that 30 days before any Yontif, we should start preparing and learning the laws of that Yontif, learning the halachas of that Yontif. Okay, that's all good. Which is why there's a similar sort of story, why they started giving the half a shekel a month, 30 days before the month of Nisan. So then, if we want to perform the mitzvah, as we said before, by actually reading about it in the Torah, we should do it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's a very interesting question. Why was the special portion instituted to be read on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar? We should read it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, to be honest, simply put, it's not a very problematic question, because we find that often when we find that certain things are done, even though they might be not specifically connected to the actual Shabbos, but more connected to during the week, it's always done on Shabbos. Because that's when people are gathered. That's when people come together. So you get more people. You're more of an audience on Shabbos. That's when people have time. That's when people gather together. And that's how we do it. I'll give you a simple example. He doesn't mention this, but it's a simple thing. The custom of Shabbos Mevarchim, which is this week, right? In Shul, the Chazan and the people say a special prayer announcing when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. On a very simple halachic level, without going into the depth of the Shabbos giving a bracha to the month and all that, but a very simple level, why do we do it? It's to remember what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. What would happen in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to sanctify the Rosh Chodesh based on the lunar system of testimony of people coming and saying that they've seen the moon and so on, so they would have something called Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh means that the Beis Din collectively sanctified the new month. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have a different system. So, but to remember how it was done, we announced the Rosh Chodesh on the Shabbos before. That's why the Chazan holds a Sefer Torah like a Beis Din. So similar to the concept of the Beis Din sanctifying Rosh Chodesh. So the obvious question is, well, why do it on Shabbos then? Do it on Rosh Chodesh, on the day before Rosh Chodesh. Why the Shabbos before? And the answer is actually simple also, because that's when people are in shul. Right? So that's when we do it. So therefore, the fact that we reach Shkalim a few days before Rosh Chodesh Adar and not on Rosh Chodesh Adar is probably the same reason, because people are in shul. However, nothing happens by chance, and therefore he's asking a legitimate question. At the end of the day, we don't do it on the day. We do it on the Shabbos before. Why do we connect it? Why do we connect the reading of Shkalim with the which is around this time of the year, with Shabbos specifically, and not on the day of Rosh Chodesh Adar? Second question. Third question is, the mitzvah is to give half a shekel. So before, right here, number three, we learned be'achad be'adar at the end of number three, on the first of Adar, mashkim mashmin al ashkalim. They would announce the shekel, right? They would announce the shekel. They would announce about the mitzvah of shkalim. Shouldn't it read, they would announce about the mitzvah of half a shekel, not shkalim? Half a shekel, half shkalim. That's the mitzvah. And yet it doesn't say that. It says they would announce about shekel. Which, by the way, is very similar to the phrase that we learned in the Gemara before. That Hashem knew that a man was going to give shkalim, so he made the Jewish shkalim come before his shkalim. Similar thing. It should have said he made the Jewish half shekels come before the shekels of Haman. So why? Why does it say shekel and not half a shekel? Another thing, fourthly, it's a famous Rashi. We mentioned it quickly last week and we said a little bit of a vort on it, but a different angle this week. Rashi brings Zeyitnu. So Hashem, this is what they should give. So we have the famous idea. Herole matbea shel eish, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a coin of fire, umishkola machtzis ha-shekel, and its weight was a half a shekel. Amalei, and he said to him, kozeh yitnu, this is what needs to be given. What is that all about? What's the significance of that? All right, so four questions. Why a half a shekel specifically? Why do we do it on Shabbos and not on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Why does it say the announcement is about the shkalim, not the half shkalim? And also, what's the significance of the coin of fire, which Hashem showed to Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay. Let's take a detour and have a look at this week's parasha. Which, by the way, it's not always that we read the half a shekel mitzvah on Shabbos Vayakel. It just happens to be that this year. So let's have a look at it. It says like this. It's about Moshe Rabbeinu coming down the mountain. And he says, Vayakel Moshe Kladas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the Jewish people. Vayomer Aleim, and he said to them, Eile hadavarim, these are the things asher tziva Hashem la'asos oisem, that Hashem has commanded for you to do. Sheshes yomim te'asem halacha, 6 days, work shall be done. Vayomer Ashvi, on the seventh day, Yielachem Kodesh, it'll be holy for you. Shabbas Shabbosain la'Hashem, it'll be a Shabbos for Hashem. Kol oisem halacha yumas, we are not permitted to work, and so on and so forth. Now, what does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu said in the first pasuk, "Eile hadavarim, these are the things that Hashem commanded you to do"? In essence, keeping Shabbos, particularly this part of Shabbos, which is described in the pasukim, which is about becoming passive, in other words, about not doing something, it's not about doing something. Keeping Shabbos means, besides the positive commandments of Shabbos and the things we do extra on Shabbos, like the Kiddush and the songs and the meals and all that, that's the active part of Shabbos. But over here we're talking about the part of Shabbos about not doing the work, not doing the prohibited work that we're not supposed to do on Shabbos. So the question is, what does he mean, Eile HaDavarim, these are the things that Hashem commanded you to do? It's not a doing thing, it should be commanded you not to do. Which leads us to believe that the doing part is the first part of the next pasuk. The 6 days of the week we shall work. That's the doing part. That seems to be the command here. The command is you shall work for 6 days and then on the Shabbos you should rest. Working the 6 days is actually part of the mitzvah. Which it is. So, he brings a passage from a great Hasidic Rebbe called the Noam Elimelech, who says the following. He says that there are two ways to serve Hashem. And let me just give a bit of a background here. So try and follow a bit. There are two ways to serve Hashem. In the Torah, we have two mitzvahs. One is called Yiras Hashem, fear of God. The other one's called love of God, Ahavas Hashem, right? The Zohar tells us that these are the two mitzvahs, two emotions that carry and elevate all the other mitzvahs that we do. When we do a mitzvah, or we learn Torah, and it's inspired and driven and enhanced by love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, the mitzvah soars to great heights. The Zohar compares it to the wings of a bird. You can have a bird, but in order for the bird to fly, it needs wings, two wings. Two wings represent Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, love of God and fear of God. And the bird is all the mitzvahs in the Torah itself. So a bird that doesn't have wings, the bird still exists, but the bird cannot fly. Similarly, if we do mitzvahs, we can do them a very dry way. We can just do them robotically. We can do them because we have to, not inspired by any passion or commitment. So the mitzvah is good, but doesn't fly high. But when we support a mitzvah, learning Torah with the passion, with the commitment that comes and stems from love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, that really flies. Now, in those two mitzvahs itself, there's lots of literature on the definition of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, what it all means, which one is higher, which one is easier, which one is harder, what you start with first. So we're taking a certain approach here, which is obviously a very, very mainstream approach and very enduring approach, and that is the following. When we talk about fear of Hashem, by the way, we're not talking about being scared or frightened of God. Fear of Hashem is more awe, it's more deference, it's more commitment, it's more accepting Hashem upon ourselves as the authority, and therefore being uncomfortable with doing anything that Hashem doesn't want us to do, essentially. Right? That's what calls Yirat Shamayim. And the Mefarshim, the commentators, and the Hasidic masters, and Kabbalah, and so on and so forth, it always says that the first stage, the first step to serving Hashem, a step which everyone can on some level achieve, is the concept of Yiras Hashem, standing in awe of Hashem, which translates really into a strong commitment. We call that in different language, Kabbalas Oil, in other words, the surrendering to Hashem's authority, to understand that He's boss, to feel that He controls us, He is the one that is the source of all blessing, and therefore we defer to Him, we surrender to Him, we commit to Him to do whatever He tells us to do. That is something which we can achieve and is achievable. The harder one to achieve is Avas Hashem, love of God. Now, just for clarity, there is a very, very high level of Yirat Hashem, which also people can't achieve on their own, but we're leaving that for now. We're talking about the regular love, fear of Hashem. Love of Hashem is something that's much harder. Love of Hashem means actually having emotional, real love for Hashem. Now, we talk about love of Hashem, and people say, yes, the love of Hashem, the love of Judaism, and so on and so forth. It's all wonderful, and something we can do as much as we can, but it's very hard for a person to actually achieve it properly. To achieve real emotional love to Hashem as one would have for a spouse, for example, or one would have for a child or for a parent. That is very difficult. It's very, very difficult to actually really, it's Hashem is sort of abstract, He's detached from us a little bit. It's not something that's part of our reality every day. It's something we learn in about or we believe. But to say we actually love it as we would love something physical and tangible, that's a very difficult thing to actually achieve. But nevertheless, there's a command from Hashem. V'ahavtas Hashem elokecha. You should love Hashem. And the Rambam already brings this. How can you command an emotion? I mean, even fear of Hashem is a hard thing to command. At least it's more achievable on that basic level. But how can you command someone to really have this feeling, emotional feeling of real love towards God? So of course, the part that we do, as much as we can, is we learn about Hashem. As the Rambam says, when you reflect on the greatness of God and the insignificance of everything else, then it becomes attractive and it becomes something that you want to pursue and becomes the only thing you want to pursue. So at some level, of course, Avas Hashem is a mitzvah. And therefore we have to achieve it on some level, at least intellectually, at least somewhere, some sort of inspiration, but to feel a full-blown love of Hashem is very difficult. So what some of the commentators tell us, and this is what the Noam Elimelech says, he says, love of Hashem is often a gift that Hashem gives us. Not something we can do on our own, it's something that Hashem gives us. When does He give it to us? If we take care of the Yiras Hashem, if we take care of the fear of Hashem. And he says the following, he says an amazing thing, he says like this. During the week, the main focus of serving God is Yira. That comes first. Yira Hashem. That's the main focus. The weekday is, particularly the weekday, is a time where Hashem is not that revealed, where holiness is not so part of our consciousness. It's much more mundane. And therefore, during the week, the expectation is that we should work, and that's what the pasuk means, on a deeper level, not just working in business, but we shall work for 6 days. Work means we shall try hard. We should be like servants to a master. Much more of yirah, much more of a fear idea. Again, fear, as I explained it before. Surrender, commitment, in awe of Hashem, deference. Whereas Shabbos is more the gift that Hashem gives us of love of Hashem. Which, by the way, is part of why Shabbos is more passive. Keeping Shabbos is not about doing, it's about making the space to receive that which Hashem is going to give us. Not doing work on Shabbos, going to a state of being rather than doing, and just creating that space is much more about making the space and detaching from the week and being recipients of Hashem's gift. Now, of course, again, there's a lot of active things on Shabbos as well, as we explained, and sort of, but the essence of Shabbos more is much more passive. Right? Shabbos is holier, Shabbos is spiritual, Shabbos we become recipients of the gift of being able to love Hashem, not just to fear Hashem. Okay? Now, of course, that has to affect the week as well, and that's why Shabbos and the week are very intertwined, but nevertheless, that's the difference between Shabbos and during the week. So, we also know that we talk about fear and love. We also differentiate that like an eved and a ben, a slave and a son. A servant serves the master much more out of fear, out of authority, because he's the boss. A son's relationship is much more out of love. So during the week, our main focus is to be avadim, to be like servants of Hashem. Shabbos is much more the idea of children of Hashem. Right? And then we have to, of course, connect the two. This idea is spoken about in the disciple of the Chayz of Lublin, who says that's why in a different verse, not our parsha, when it talks about 6 days, the working of 6 days, it says, Sheshes yomim ta'avoid, 6 days you shall work, and use the word like eved, because the eved is like the servant who serves Hashem much out of awe, whereas Shabbos is very different, because it says, Shvayom ha'shvi, tishpois, on the seventh day you shall rest, you shall stop. What does it mean, stop? You shall stop the process of being like a servant and transition more into the being a son, being a child, which is the concept of loving Hashem. What does this all mean? What this means is that our job is much more focused on Yiras Hashem. And Hashem completes the process by giving us the gift of loving Hashem, basically. Right? Now, by the way, this is also hinted in a very beautiful thing. They're all intertwined, and of course, we have to have love of Hashem as much as we can. But basically, Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem should come first. That commitment, that surrender, that's step one. And then the Ava comes. And then, of course, they're all interconnected because we all need both all the time. But just a matter of emphasis. So I want to show you something which I should have put on the handout, but I didn't. I've showed you this before, but I'm going to just put it here in big a little bit. Give me 1 second. If you take the two words, I don't know if you can see this, but if you take the two words of Yira and Ahava, right? You put Yira on top and then Ahava on the bottom, and then look what happens. So Yira is Yud Resh Aleph Hey, Ahava is Aleph Hey Ves Hey, right? Now, if you put a line in the middle like that, now read the first two letters of Yira is Yud Resh, and the two letters of Ahava is Aleph Hey, which makes the word Yira. Now look at the last two letters of Ahava, of Yira, which is Aleph Hey, the last two letters of Ahava, which is Ves Hey, makes Ahava. That intertwining between the two. But when does it intertwine? When do you get the complete picture? When do you have Yira and then get Ahava? Only if Yira comes first. If the Jew does what we, if we do what we can do, and we serve Hashem with the greatest commitment and surrender as we possibly can, we work in the 6 days to serve Hashem with Yira, Hashem completes the process and on Shabbos gives us Ava, and then we have both, we have a complete thing. But when you have both and intertwined so like this, only when Yira comes on top, if you put Ava on top, it won't work. But if you put Yira on top and then Ava, Yira comes first, then the Ava actually works, right? Now we understand something, a different thing. When it comes to Shabbos, right? When it comes to Shabbos, I'm just gonna check the chat. I see some comments are coming in. I see it. Okay. I'll lift it up high a little bit. 1 second, I'll show you. Okay, maybe you can see it there. You see the Yira on top and the Ava on the bottom. The first letters of Yira on top, if you go top to bottom, makes Yira and then Ava. Anyway, if you didn't see it, don't worry. The explanation continues on its own anyways. Now we're going to understand how the process works. So what we do mainly, our contribution is the Yira. Hashem completes the process with the Ava, which comes on Shabbos. Which fits in with the beautiful Gemara. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Toiva, Yeshli Bebeis Kenozai Ushabbos Shmo. When Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the mitzvah of Shabbos, says the Gemara, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a beautiful present, I have a gift in my treasure house that I want to give to you. And its name of the gift is Shabbos. Now we understand with greater emphasis why Shabbos is called a gift. Because Shabbos is the gift which comes after the work we do in the 6 days. This is true about everything about Shabbos. Which is why the Gemara says, the Talmud tells us, that Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos, whoever works hard before Shabbos, will have what to eat on Shabbos. The simple interpretation of that is that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Therefore, if you want cholent, you've got to make it the day before. Therefore, if you cook Erev Shabbos, you'll have what to eat. But of course, the Mefarshim will explain on a much deeper level. I mean, spiritually, the more you put into during the week, the more spirituality you'll get out of Shabbos. In the context of what we're talking about now, the more yira, the more commitment you have during the week, the more love Hashem will give us on Shabbos. So now we understand what the pasuk means. Yakel Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jewish people, go back to number 5. And he says to them, these are the things that Hashem commanded you to do. So we ask the question, what do you mean he commanded you to do? We're not doing anything on Shabbos. Shabbos is about not doing. Yes, no. So Hashem says, no. These are the things you have to do. You want to get to Shabbos? You want to get to Shabbos? Sheishes yamim ta'asim alacha. You have to do. This is what Hashem commanded you to do. Put in the work during the week. Build up your commitment. Build up your surrender. Build up the yiras shamayim, the concept of yira, or deferring to Hashem, surrendering to Hashem, committing to Hashem, kabbalas oil. You do that during the week, and then you'll be merit to have the concept of Shabbos, which Hashem gives you as a gift. So that absolutely, in this commandment, there's a doing part. The doing part is us, during the week, to complete the process on Shabbos. So now let's bring this back to the Machtzis HaShekel. This is the idea of Machtzis HaShekel. This is the idea of the half a shekel. The reason why Hashem gave us a half a shekel is because serving Hashem completely is a whole shekel. Hashem says what you need to do is half a shekel. You need to do the yiras shamayim. When you do the yira during the week, then Hashem gives you the gift on Shabbos and he completes the shekel. And listen to something absolutely amazing. What's hinted in this pasuk? Look at this pasuk again, number 6. Sheishes yamim yasim alachot, 6 weeks, 6 days you should do work. Vayom hashvi on the 7th day. Shabbos shabbosain, it'll be a Shabbos. Shabbosain is a day of rest. Kodesh laHashem, holy for Hashem. If you see in the highlighted things there, take the first letter of Shabbosain, Kodesh laHashem, and it spells Shin Kuf Lamud Shekel, the whole shekel, the entire shekel. When you work for 6 days, which is your half a shekel, and comes Shabbos, which Hashem gives us a gift, what happens? Shabbos and Kodesh LaHashem, you have an entire shekel. Entire shekel. Just listen to something else amazing. I'm going to go back to the very first pasuk of Shkolim. The way that Hashem commands us to give the half a shekel, it says, Kisisa as Rosh B'day Yisrael. When you lift up the heads of the Jewish people, it's a very strange expression of counting someone. Very strange expression. Sisa as Rosh B'day Yisrael. When you lift up the heads of the B'day Yisrael, what does that mean? So he says a beautiful, beautiful thing. That the half a shekel we give during the week is to get the elevation of love of Hashem on Shabbos. That's all hinted in the words Kisisa as Rosh B'nai Yisrael, when you lift up the head of B'nai Yisrael. Let's have a look. Lifting up Sisa, what do you lift up? The Rosh. What's Rosh? Rosh is Resh Aleph Shin. What does it mean to lift up? This is a beautiful idea. Take the Rosh and lift each letter up to the next letter. Go the next step. What's the next step after Aleph? Sorry. What's the next step after Resh, I mean? Shin. What's the next step after Aleph? Beis. What's the next step after Shin? Taf. Shin, Beis, Taf, Shabbos. The Torah is giving us a din of Machtzis HaShekel, half a shekel. The idea of the half a shekel is to get to a complete shekel. The half a shekel is what we do. The complete shekel is Shabbos. That's the gift from Hashem. It's the sisa, it's the lifting up of the Rosh. We do what we do during the week, and then we get lifted up on Shabbos. The Rosh becomes a Shin, the Aleph becomes a Beis, the Shin becomes a Tov, making the word Shabbos. This is the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu Just 1 second. Oh, this is the idea of what it says, that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with this mitzvah until Hashem took out a half a shekel of fire from under the Kisei HaKavod, from under the throne of glory, as it says in the Medrash. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty and what was the answer of Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty was, why Hashem are you only commanding us to give half a shekel? Why not a whole shekel? Why only half a shekel? Hashem's answer is, because the other half I give you. What's the other half? It's the matbea shel esh, it's the coin of fire. It's the passion, it's the burning love between Hashem and the Jewish people and between the Jewish people and Hashem that I will give you. That's the gift I need to give you. You need to give the half a shekel. You need to do the yira. And then I will give you the ava, which is from the matbea shel esh, it's the coin of fire. That also answers the question of why it says in the Mishnah on the first of Adar they would announce the mitzvah of shekels, not half shekels, to allude to the fact, of course, practically we only give half a shekel, but the mitzvah ultimately is a whole shekel, because the point of the half a shekel is to get to the other half of the shekel which Hashem gives us. Now we understand why when we read this parsha at this time of the year, we don't do it on Rosh Chodesh Adar, but we do it on Shabbos, because the Shabbos before represents the ultimate goal of this mitzvah. That Shabbos is a part of the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel. Yes, the mitzvah is to give half a shekel, but the ultimate goal is the whole shekel, which includes the half a shekel of love that Hashem gives us. And to hint that, and to represent that, and to emphasize that, we do the mitzvah of half a shekel. Sorry, we read about this mitzvah specifically on Shabbos, alluding to the other half that Hashem gives us to complete our half. Now, I want to connect this to another thing. A beautiful idea, but I want to connect to something else. We know that the weekday in Shabbos has another significance. And the weekday of Shabbos also represents the time of Golus and Mashiach. Mashiach comes, it'll be a Yom Shekulei Shabbos. It'll be a day which is completely Shabbos. In other words, it'll be a Shabbos type of existence. And right now, in the six sets of millennia that we go through, we're in the sixth millennium now. That's like the 6 days of the week. That's preparing for the time of Mashiach. Just like Shabbos, we quoted the Talmud before that Misha Torach be'erev Shabbos, whoever works hard on erev Shabbos. In other words, the more we put into the 6 days of the week, the greater the gift is when Shabbos comes. Meaning, Shabbos we receive things that we cannot achieve on our own, but yet are dependent on what we do on our own. Right? They're two different things. Yes, what Hashem gives us on Shabbos, we cannot achieve ourselves. But what Hashem gives us on Shabbos is dependent on what we do during the week. Similar thing is in terms of Mashiach. We know that when Mashiach will come, it will be the most amazing revelation. Mashiach will come, there will be a divine consciousness and a divine revelation like it's never ever been before. It will be absolutely amazing. Something which we definitely cannot create today, we cannot achieve today. So it almost sounds like, therefore, what we do today is almost irrelevant and insignificant in comparison to what will happen when Mashiach comes. And it is, it says, whatever happens when Mashiach comes will completely camouflage, completely dissolve, dilute, so to speak, what we're doing now, because it will be so much greater, infinitely greater than what we're able to achieve now. Yet we are taught that what happens when Mashiach comes, the giluyim, the revelation that happens when Mashiach comes is dependent. It will be inspired by and directed by, it will be because of the work and the effort that we put in during the times of Golus. And I wanted to share with you on that note, just like the Machtzis HaShekel, an unbelievable pshat, an unbelievable interpretation in the Rambam that the Rebbe once spoke about. He connected it to this week's parasha also, but he connected it to the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll just give you a bit of insight, a bit of background to this. Have a look at number 7. It's the Rambam. The Rambam there is at the very end of the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a long talk. I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of one point he makes over there. In that section, the Rambam is talking about the laws of how they would take care of the temple. They would like put guards, and every night they would check the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth. What would happen is that during the night there were different posts of guards standing guard at the Beis HaMikdash. In the morning, that a whole process where they kindly would make a procession, right? They would make a procession up and down the Beis HaMikdash, They would hold avukoi shel oil, they would hold torches of fire, so that you're able to see properly, and they should, they checked that everything was okay, they would finish the procession, they would make a pronouncement, everything is in order, and they would start the rituals of the day, they would start the avoid of the day. Says the Rambam, Kaseder hazeh, this order, this procedure, oisin b'chol laila v'laila, they would do every night. Chutz, with the exception of Milele Shabbos Friday night, she'ein b'yodim or they had no light. So how would they check? How would they check the courtyard and the temple grounds without light? Right? Elo boitkin, says the Rambam, they would check it b'neirois hadlukin shom me'erev Shabbos. There were always candles burning in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would check on Friday night, they would check just using the light coming from the candles that were burning on Erev Shabbos. Now, there's a whole long halachic discussion about this Rambam that the Rebbe discusses there in their talk to do with the fact that really, why couldn't they hold candles? We know that on Shabbos there are things that are prohibited biblically, and there are things that are only prohibited rabbinically, known as shvus. We have a rule that the rabbinic limitations, the rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbat didn't actually apply in the temple. They were only outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, why couldn't they? And he goes through the whole thing, because to do it every night that way, and it wouldn't be disrespectful for the Beis HaMikdash. And doing it this way was much more of emphasizing the kavod, the honor of the Beis HaMikdash. But at the end of that talk, he gives such a beautiful little philosophical insight. He says, Shabbos is a whole different day. Shabbos refers to Mashiach. How would they check, how would they take care of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos? From the candles that were burning on Erev Shabbos. Meaning, the stuff that is done before Mashiach comes. And the Rambam emphasizes this because a person can always think to himself, we learn and we experience and we explore what is going to happen when Mashiach comes. And we understand that what's going to happen when Mashiach comes is absolutely phenomenal. And the levels of spirituality and the levels of greatness that will happen when Mashiach comes will be unbelievable. And therefore we think to ourselves, so what's the point of what I do now? What's the point of what we do now? What's the point of what we do? The answer is like the Machzis HaShekel. That what we do, what we do during the week, in terms of Yira, we get in terms of Ava on Shabbos. But it's true with everything. And that's why the Rambam says, don't think that what we do now is insignificant. That when Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash will be lit up, so to speak. The Beis HaMikdash will be given to us. And with all its revelations and all its unbelievable ideas, from where? Where will it emanate from? It will be infinitely greater than what we have now. But where did it come from? From now. That's what he says. Boitkin b'neirois hadlukin shom erev Shabbos. It's from the candles burning on Erev Shabbos. That's now. What we do now makes a difference what we get when Mashiach comes. And that's why we take that lesson to understand very, very clearly the effect and the significance and the importance of every mitzvah and every halacha that we observe and keep now. Tying back into the concept of Machzis HaShekel, which is that what we do during the week, that's the gift that we get on Shabbos, even though the gift is greater than what we can achieve. So that's the lesson of the Shabbos. That's one of the insights of Machzis HaShekel, fitting beautifully into the concept of Shabbos, which is such a prominent theme in this week's parasha. All right, we're going to stop a little early.